mighty in scriptures. We don't have that description of Andrew. He's not Barnabas, who was a son of encouragement. Andrew, who are you? I'm Simon Peter's brother. Just an ordinary person in the congregation, among the disciples. He's like many of us. Just a disciple. Average capacity or ability. We're just numbered among the rest of us. Not that Andrew wasn't noted in Scripture for being a leader in any of the assemblies. He's not in the limelight. He's Simon Peter's brother. He doesn't play a conspicuous part in the history of the church. He's just Andrew. He's Andrew. And sometimes we think, you know, if I had so-and-so's ability, or if I had that other person's opportunity, God do great things around here. But you know, God doesn't require of us to do somebody else's work. Let's just do ours. And that's the story of Andrew in our lesson today. We just need, if you're Andrew, you do Andrew's work. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, for if there first be a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man has, and not according to what he has not. You are not required to do what somebody else does. We just have to do what we are required to do and what we can do and do the opportunity that's placed in front of us. That's all Andrew did. That's what he did. So Andrew, who are you? Well, number one, I'm Simon Peter's brother, but I'm just me. I'm an average Joe or Andrew. I'm an average Andrew. So we need to work to the best of our own ability. The next, he was a convinced man. This will be number two in your notes. A convinced man. Said in verse 41, when he goes back to his house to get his brother, what he says, we found the Messiah. Yeah. Not, I think this is Jesus over here. No. Didn't say, perhaps this is the Messiah that we've been looking for. He didn't say, I have a sneaky suspicion. No. It was the voice of conviction. We have found the Messiah. Because he was convinced himself, he was able to convince someone else. And that's an important element in your life and mine. If we want to convince someone else of the faith, we need to be convinced ourselves. If we're going to convince someone else of the truth of the Bible, we need to be convinced ourselves that the Bible is the word of truth. And so that's the way Andrew approaches his brother. We have found the Messiah. We have that. The Messiah. He didn't say, oh, you know what, brother, we found a church with friendly people. Might be so. Or we found a church with a lot of programs. Found a church with a handsome preacher. It's not going to draw many people in. No, we found the Messiah. That's the drawing card. Jesus is going to say later in his ministry, you know, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men to me. And so when we are inviting others to worship or others to our assembly, or try to invite others to Christ, we need to be convinced, you know, who we found. We found the Messiah. When we attend this assembly, we hear the Word of God preached. We hear that Jesus is the Son of God. We hear that He is our hope. We hear that if we have our faith and our trust in Him, and we obey Him the way He's designed, we have the forgiveness of sins, we have an assurance of salvation. That's what we need to say. Andrew is a convinced man. Let me tell you what I've found. Hey, come here. He's a convinced man. He was a communicating man. Communicating, number four. It's interesting. No sooner a convert than he becomes a missionary. First, he finds his own brother. I wish I could remember, and I was thinking about this when I was looking over these, my notes here. I wish I could remember the first thing that I did after becoming a Christian. I tried, but I can't remember. Been many, 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 many years ago. I can't remember. And then I sort of began to ask myself a few questions. I wonder how long it was before I invited someone to the assembly or told them about the Christ or told them, you know what I just did last weekend? I was baptized and became a Christian. I wonder how long it was before I did that. I just have to try to think back on my own life. But then to make it personal, how long has it been since I told someone now? And so I asked, you know, and the purpose of this lesson about Andrew's example is to illustrate that there's something that all of us can do. We can be an Andrew. Again, you know, you might say, well, Brian, I can't do what you're doing. Stand up here and look into the eyes and the faces of a congregation of God's people and give a lesson. You can't do that. But you can do what Andrew did. First, he finds his own brother. See, his missionary work began at home. So I put another illustration in your notes. Like Cornelius. When Peter, Andrew's brother, gets a vision from God, and Cornelius too, and God links up Cornelius and Peter, and Peter comes to preach at Cornelius' house, you know what Cornelius does? Acts 10 verse 24, he called together his kinsmen. Family. I can do that. If there's going to be a meeting or a Bible study, I can certainly call together family and friends. I can do that. And that's all Cornelius did. You know what? Peter's coming to the house to teach. Would you come listen? I can do that. You can do that. Invite people to come and listen. Give God worship and praise. I can do that. I can see many across the seas in need of hearing God's saving message. Yeah. But now to make it more personal, closer to home, can I see those nearby who need to be told, we found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. And that's what should bring people in. Andrew's brother Peter, continue reading the Bible story, became a tremendous preacher and pillar in the church, the New Testament church. Tell me, read this story or think about Andrew. I always wonder if Andrew knew what Peter would become when he brought him to Jesus. I wonder if Andrew knew that. Now he just says, you know what? If I found the Christ, I want to share that with my brother Peter. Whatever you're thinking, you know, I'm going to get Peter in on this because he can become a great person or tremendous influence in the lives of others. I can't, but maybe he, I don't know what he was thinking, but he just said, you know what, I found, I want to share with my brother, and he invites his brother to see Jesus. You know, only God knows what the future holds for the one we bring to Jesus. I'm going to guess that many of your elementary school teachers would be happily surprised to see the way you've turned out. So that's sometimes elementary school teachers, you know, we had some elementary students here. I wonder about them. Wonder what's going to happen to them in future years. And even me, when I was teaching in elementary school, you know, put in my instruction, but I always wonder when they leave and you turn them over to that next teacher in the next grade or middle school. I sometimes wonder whatever happened to them. Very seldom, but every once in a while I'll get a call back. And they'll say, oh, I remember you. Yeah. Wow, thank you. But you always wonder, we don't know what the future is going to hold for that one that we've invited or that one that we bring to Jesus. So I sometimes wonder when I read the story, I did wonder what Andrew was thinking. I'm just going to go find my brother Peter and bring him. Not knowing the future. Interesting. Now, I sometimes ask myself, too, I wonder who rendered the greater service. Now, think about this one. Just a food question for thought. Who rendered the greater service? Peter who preached? Or Andrew who brought it? Just a question for thought. Don't answer out loud. Because it would be debatable. It's just a question. Andrew didn't have any special training, but he was a communicating person. Nothing's revealed about his college education. Nothing is revealed about him attending soul-winning workshops or taking classes on how to teach a home Bible study or we don't know how many books he read. But this is the lesson we learned from Andrew, is that what Andrew knew, he wanted his brother to know. And that's all he imparted to his brother Peter. Peter, let me tell you that I found the Christ. That's all he knew. So that's what he shared. That's what he told. You may not have a grasp on all the doctrine. I don't know why. I don't know much about the Bible story. However, you know what you did to become a Christian. And that's what you tell. That's what you share. Tell others if you found a place where Christ is preached and the Bible is followed. You can do that. Then the last one, number five, Andrew was a contented man. And I say it this way, in a sense, he was content to be the unspectacular, unpublicized, unheralded, kind of an undistinguished member of the apostles. But he was a member. But he's not highlighted, except as Andrew, Simon, and Peter's brother. Never in the limelight. Didn't write a gospel like Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John. Didn't evangelize a city like Philip. Didn't evangelize a world like Paul. Not in the inner three of Peter, James, and John that Jesus took with him on several occasions. But then nothing said about him griping about his position. We don't find Andrew being upset, not doing this, he wasn't included in this or that. Evidently, Andrew didn't care about who occupied priority or first place. He's not concerned about who receives the credit. He's concerned about the cross. Concerned about his relationship to the Messiah, and he wanted to share that with others. There's a song that we used to sing in our other songbook called Room in God's Kingdom. Wonder what you can do? Here's the words of the song. There's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. Just a small kindly deed that may cheer another is the work God has planned for you. Second step. Just a cup of cold water in His name given may the hope in some heart renew. Do not wait to be told, nor by sorrow driven, to the work God has planned for you. The last thing. There's a place in the service of God for workers who are loyal to Him and true. Can't you say to Him now, I'll leave the shirkers, and the work Thou hast planned I'll do. And the chorus, there is room, there's a place in the kingdom of God for you. There is room, there's a place, there's a work that we all can do. Andrew, being Andrew. I've used this illustration several times, but I'd like to hear it again. Not just the one of us cannot do everything that needs to be done. There's work that goes on here in and around the building that I never hear about. But I see that it's been done. Some of the work, I don't even know who did it. I just see the results of someone else's labor. And also, you know, I never worry about when I arrive at the building. Never worry. I never come around the corner thinking, oh, I wonder if the building's going to be open. That thought never occurs to me. I know there's an Andrew that's opened the building. I wonder if, it never occurs to me when I come around the corner of the street here, I wonder if the communion is going to be prepared. Never think about that. There's an Andrew. It's already done that. I wonder if the building is going to be clean. That thought never occurs to me. What if the song leader is going to be prepared? Thought never occurs to me. Of course he's not. He's prepared when he gets. He's prepared. He's already been thinking about that. Because I do that even when I come before the Bible class, and I leave the opening song, you know, before I leave the house. May not written down a number, but several songs are already going through my mind. I think preparation before I arrive at the building. They haven't written it, but I've thought about it. It's on my mind. Wonder who. I never worry if there's going to be a bulletin in the foyer when I arrive. No, there's an Andrew. And if there's not a bulletin, I know Jim is on the way back home to pick them up because he left them on his kitchen counter. See, the church, I put in your notes, the church needs its Andrews. We need more Andrews. Be an Andrew. That's the lesson. You do what you can do. And that's all that's required. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're here this morning, now a member of the New Testament church. You've heard the good news that God so loved the world, He sent a Son. And you believe that, as Jesus said, you know, in John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. And you're willing to turn your life around. The Bible calls it repentance. And Jesus said it Himself in Luke chapter 13. Except you repent, you'll perish. And you want to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. And with those things in place, you've heard, you believe, you've repented, you're willing to confess your faith. Number five, you can be baptized for remission of sins. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, rise to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, then begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation we extend. We sing a song.